We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
This morning, those that are in the hall, in the main auditorium, it's good to see you around. We've added more chairs for those that are online. We are expecting you. Whenever you're ready, we hope to see you soon. Also, those that are new, you're joining us for the very first time, we want to welcome you too. Thank you for joining us this morning. We have unfinished business from last week. Those of you that were able to join us last week, we started speaking on the theme, Make Room for Enlargement, the series. And we spoke, we couldn't finish, we spoke on getting ready for enlargement. And the story is the story of the children of Israel. Just before they went into the promised land, there was a bit of a story there before they got into the promised land. And as they were getting ready, we talked about two keys last week, that the first key of getting ready to be enlarged by God is to believe in the word of God. We say that this is the basic and it's the most important. Unless we are people that believe in the word of God, then everything else is a waste of time. And we also started, built on the second point, which is that we walk by faith and not by sight. And we did establish that anything to do with God, any dealings at all with the living God, is founded on people that walk by faith and not by sight. If you have any business to do with God, it's got to be clear in your mind and in your heart that God, we connect with him by a substance called faith. That's how we get ready for enlargement. If God is going to communicate anything at all to us, and we're able to receive this message about enlarging or making room for God, then we are called to be a people of faith. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So today we continue from there. I hope I'll be able to finish, and then we can get on to something else. But today we continue, and I want to read from Numbers 14, Numbers 1-4, from verse 1 through to 10. Numbers 14, from verse 1 through to 10. Ready? Okay, I'm going to read. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. Verse 2, all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they say to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Verse 10, but the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. So this is the story. They have heard the reports, and then overnight, the children of Israel weep. And when they wake up in the morning, they have a different agenda. And the agenda is very simple. Why are we here? They are now challenging God in bringing them to this place, the promised land that has been promised for over years. And they challenge God. They say, why have you even brought us here? And then obviously, because God is spirit, they then go for the representatives of God, Moses and Aaron. The Bible says they wanted to stone them. Okay? Because they had already decided that we are going back to Egypt after all, because we were meant to die in the wilderness, but we're still alive. So the best thing to do is let's go back to bondage in Egypt. where we used to enjoy the watermelons, the cucumbers, the garlic, and all sorts of things. But we were slaves. And so as they are thinking about stoning, Caleb stands up. Is it Caleb or Joshua? The other time it was Caleb. The day before it was Caleb who stood up and said, listen, God has gone for us. He's gone ahead of us. Let's go get the land. And this time around, Joshua stands up and says, hey, we can't do that. We can't rebel against the Lord. God has given us this land. Their protection is gone. Their protection is gone. Oh, when they hear that, they're like, okay, we're going to stone you together with Moses and Aaron. And right there, the presence of the Lord appears. Because now they were no longer poking men, they were poking God. So this is the story. We're still building on this story. So how do you get ready for enlargement? Number three, you've got to set the right atmosphere for your life. Set the right atmosphere for your life. Numbers 14, verse 1 to 4. We, of the congregation, my version says, there was a loud cry. NIV says, wept aloud, I think. They raised a loud cry. I don't know whether other versions say they actually wept all night. The reason they were weeping is because they wouldn't believe the word of God. Or rather, because of the giants that had not even attacked them yet. And these giants, mind you, they had not seen them themselves, but it was how they were painted in their minds by the 10 spies. You with me? They had not seen them. You know, it's like someone describing to you how, oh, you can't go there, you know. There is this, there is that. In fact, as soon as you step in, you will see this. And then on your left, you'll see that. And then on your right, you'll see that. And then underneath, you see this. On top, you'll see. Are you with me so far? Because, you see, they painted for them a picture. They said to them, on the hill country, they are the Amalekites. I think they said they are the Jebusites. But by the sea and the River Jordan, they are the Amalekites. By the valley, which is Negev, they are Canaanites. So wherever you look, you see these giants coming for you. They painted a picture in their minds. And the devil is an expert in that. He's a master in painting a picture of fear, so that the atmosphere around you is such that giants want to eat you up. And so in your mind, you start imagining giants eating you up. Even your dreams go that direction. And you wake up scared in the morning. Oh, I dreamt demons chasing me. Yes. Yes, you did. Now, it's an atmosphere. The game the devil is very good at is setting an atmosphere for your fall. And once you fall to that atmosphere, the rest is a piece of cake for the devil. It's a mind game. And so these guys, these 10 spies, you see, they then, when they came back, they formed a committee. I call this committee a committee responsible for public opinion and attitude management. A committee of 10. Now, 10 guys were able to sway a whole nation to believe them. Because negative news is much, much stronger than anything you've ever faced in your life. So the whole nation took the message that we are doomed. Never mind the promises of God, but we're finished. And the reason is because Numbers 13:32 says, they brought a bad report. And I also, you need to understand what's happening here. It is Moses who sent them at their insistence. When they come back, they actually don't give the report to Moses. The Bible says they give it to Moses and the whole congregation. Now, who sent them? Moses. Why are they speaking to the whole congregation? A committee had already been formed. Someone defined a committee. this. You might want to know this. A committee is a group of people who individually can do nothing and collectively decide nothing can be done, and therefore resort to managing public opinion to align with their attitudes. So if we go, nobody else should go. And not only that, everybody else should think like us. Are you with me? So we have Christians that will tell you, oh, I don't think God can answer that kind of prayer request. They want you to join them in disbelieving God. Because when it comes to issues of faith, you've got to step out on your own and hear what God has spoken to you about as an individual. You have to. So the committee of 10, these 10 unbelieving spies, was on a mission to discourage others, and they succeeded. They succeeded because all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried all night. And they said, we'd rather go back to Egypt. Now, that is an attitude of unbelief. It's an attitude of unbelief, but it's a dangerous one, because when you are in that place of unbelief where the atmosphere has been saturated with unbelief, you begin to think ridiculous things, like thinking that God brought us to the wilderness to kill us. That's a thought of a negative thinking person. So you'll be shocked at what comes to your mind. You're even afraid of going out because you think, I'm going to die. As a family, we're doing the book of Proverbs. And so there's a part which talks about where this lazy guy says, there are lions in the streets. I'm not going out because he's lazy. He can't wake up to go. And he says, he starts seeing lions in the middle of the city center. Is there a zoo in Sheffield? Does anybody know about a zoo in Sheffield? In the city center? Well, this guy, in his mind, he had a zoo. And he could see lions jumping out of the zoo, chasing after him so that he does not have to go to work because he's scared. That's an imagination coming from a spirit of fear. And the devil is a master at that. Hebrews 3, verse 19 says, so we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Children of Israel. They were unable to enter the promised land because of unbelief. Now, Joshua and Caleb were different. They refused to allow the bad report of the 10 spies to shape and set their atmosphere. They refused it. And how did they refuse it? They verbally challenged it. They spoke the word of God against the negative atmosphere that was being shaped before them. So while the majority said, we can't, they said, we can. While the majority said, we shouldn't, they said, we must. While the majority said, we are not able, they said, our God is able. The majority said, it's impossible. They said, there's no word like that in the dictionary that God uses for my life. So which dictionary are you using? Caleb said, you know, I like what Caleb said. You've got to follow the words here, because he's trying to challenge an atmosphere of barrenness. He's challenging that culture. He's challenging the atmosphere of unbelief. And he says to me, give me the mountain. Give me the mountain. Are you with me? See, it's impossible to even imagine. How can this 85-year-old man want a mountain? Is he mad? Where does he get the strength from? Says, you're talking about strength. The strength I had when I was 40 years old, I still have it today. Because in Christ, I can do anything. My strength is in Christ. So Caleb says, give me the mountain, because he's setting an atmosphere whereby giants can be taken down. And do you know that Caleb did not even need to fight? He just said, okay, anyone who takes this mountain, I'll give you my daughter in marriage. That's all he did. He didn't even fight anything. Are you with me? Because he had set an atmosphere where everyone thought, it's possible. We can do this. We are able. We can achieve it. Because a man of faith had set an atmosphere. So in your house, you can set an atmosphere too. Because atmosphere can be negative. Atmosphere can be evil. Atmosphere can be bad. Atmosphere can be downgrading. It's up to you. You dial it yourself every morning. How do you set an atmosphere? You set an atmosphere by speaking things that are not as though they were. Amen. You speak the word of God. If you have nothing to say, speak the word of God. I'll say it again. If you have nothing to say, speak the word of God. If you run out of what to say, speak the word of God. Stop quoting film stars and celebrities and bringing that atmosphere into your house. Quote the word of God. Speak the word of God and see whether things don't change. That's how you change. You die. Have you when you sense that there's an atmosphere of tension, let's say at work, you walk in the morning, you can't put a finger on it because these things are of the spirit, you see. You think it's just an office, but there's a spiritual a temperature taking place there. Someone is setting the dial in their workplace and you don't know that. So in the morning, just walk in. And you wonder why the boss is waiting for you and he goes for you. What did I do? We are trying to fight it using your earthly wisdom. You are not connecting to the wisdom of God. Amen. Someone is saying amen. I like that. She's setting the atmosphere of faith right here. So Caleb and Joshua had a choice, just like you and me. We have a choice. And they said, we choose to set the atmosphere of heaven here. What did Jesus say? Jesus says, pray that let your will be done where? Here on earth as it is where? In heaven. In other words, set the atmosphere of heaven right here on earth. And it's done by prayer. It's done by prayer. So you can change atmospheres in order to enlarge the territory. That's why you see it written there. You might not like it, but you'll read it anyway. Every day you come in here, it will be on your face. It's an atmosphere that we're trying to set. An atmosphere of worship. An atmosphere of faith. An atmosphere of believing in God, that God is able. If he did it yesterday, he can do it today. If he healed yesterday, he can heal today. Amen. That is the God we serve. Can I hear an amen here? Amen. We're very quiet. Are you with me? Oh my goodness, media is doing their thing again. My time is gone. Let's move on. I don't know how. Anyway, let me set the atmosphere of preaching on time. Okay, so getting ready for enlargement, number four, I think, it means you've got to know that it is not by might, no, by power. You have to know this. This is easier said than done. I want us to understand this. In Numbers 14, verse 8 to 9, Joshua says, Numbers 14, verse 8 to 9, he says, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. Which land? The land that flows with milk and honey. How will he do that? He will give it to us. Verse 9. Only do not rebel against the Lord. How do you rebel against the Lord? By being afraid. By being afraid of who? Of the people of the land. Because we will devour them. In fact, Caleb says, we will eat them up. But the Lord, see, he says, we'll eat them up because their protection is gone. That's why. Never mind what you see with your eyes. You need to see by faith. Then you will see that they are open game. We're done with them. Because their protection has been removed. It's not by might, no, by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Do not be afraid of them. It is interesting to note that 10 of the spies could only talk about how big the giants were in the promised land. That's all they had. Their conversation was about the giants. Did you see He had six toes. Oh no, I thought he had six fingers as well. Oh no, 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 no. Did you see his muscles? Did you see his biceps? What about his triceps? What about his chest? What about his shoulder? And they continued all night, all night. And the people were weeping. Did you see? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. What about the spirit? Yes, I saw it. You know, when you're going through a problem, you know, problems are something else. You turn them, you turn this way at night, you see the other angle of the problem. You turn this way at night, you see the other angle of the problem. And you keep tossing and twisting and turning, and the problem is doing the same too in your mind. In your mind. But the Bible says it's not by might, nor by... See, it's not how big your giant is. Do you know how big God is? Do you have an idea how big God is? That was Joshua and Caleb's response. Caleb and Joshua were never worried about the giants because that was God's problem. It was not their problem. That was God's problem. You know, it's like a child. When you, our daughter Victoria, when I go with her somewhere, Victoria thinks her dad is so rich that he picks anything she wants. For her, it's like, what are you talking about? I can have this, I can have that, I can have this. I'm like, Victoria, you know, like, why can't I have it, daddy? That's her mentality. See, Lesedi is more careful. You know, Lesedi is sensitive. Say, oh, daddy, should I have this? He asks. So I think sometimes we approach God like Lesedi. We feel sorry for God. Oh, God, are you able to pay for this? Are you sure, Lord, I'm going to have this promised land? Why don't I just have a little plot? But God says, I want to enlarge you. Amen. Amen. I want you to make room for me because what I'm bringing your way is massive. That was the attitude of Caleb and Joshua. How they knew that it's not by power nor by might. So Caleb says, they are our bread. We eat them up. These guys. So let me take you to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It's not by might nor by power. This is Zechariah writing to the children of Israel. Now, the reason he says it's not by might, that word might refers to military strength. Okay? It refers to military strength that is put together and is coming for you. So, it's not by military might. See, so these were former slaves and they just come out of a land of oppression. And they're seeing the giants of the land of Canaan. And they're looking at their equipment, their armor. And they're like, we can't fight against these guys. They were looking at the military might of the Canaanites. And they had no chance whatsoever. And then he goes on to say, it's not by might, no, by power. That word power refers to the strength of an individual. See, when the 12 spies saw the giants, their strength was gone. As individuals, their strength was gone. But Caleb would not be discouraged by these guys. Because his mind was somewhere else. His thought pattern, his perspective was from another world. He thought like God. So the prophet Zechariah says, the Spirit of God will enable you to overcome. He will give you the strength of an army to achieve what he has called you to do. That's what he's saying, in effect. He's saying, you don't need to worry about what you are seeing or what you are hearing, because that which I have shown you shall be achieved in my strength, by my Spirit. The Spirit of God is so powerful that he can move mountains. Let me give you an example. There was a time when a king of Assyria wanted to invade Israel, and Hezekiah was king. So Ezekiah went to pray and said, Lord, you see what they are doing here. And the Bible says, one angel of the Lord killed 185,000 troops of that army, of the Assyrian. One angel. One. Now, when the Bible says, it's not by might, no, by power, but by my spirit. Whatever you are facing today, listen to me. If you see it from the eyes of God, you will change your fears. You will change your perspective. Because God can move mountains. God can move mountains. So, there are three ways we can attempt to do the work of God. You know, the work of God is God's purpose for your life. You can achieve it in your own way. The first way you can do is to use your own strength, to trust your own strength that you can get the job done. Or the second way is to borrow the resources of the world. For example, you can use worldly methods to try and achieve God's purpose for your life. People do that all the time. So you can build a church based on management principles from Harvard, for example. Or, thirdly, we can depend on the power of God. We can depend on the power of God. So the first two approaches may appear to be successful, but they will lead to dismal failure. They can seem like things are happening, but you will fail eventually. Without him, you can do a lot, but you will fail. You will fail. What is his name? His name is Jehovah El Shaddai, the great one, the mighty one. So when he says it's not by might, nor by power, but it's by the almighty one who comes by his spirit to bring results in your way. So therefore, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If what you're doing has nothing to do with God, it means it has no value in heaven. That's why gold is put on the streets to walk on. And we're busy killing ourselves over money. In heaven, it's a carpet. That's scepter. It's a value system. You can base your life on a value system that is zero in heaven. The question is, who are you living for? The possessing of the land was something that only God could do by his own strength. There is no way they would have conquered the land. There is no way. The armies that they were facing were 10 times better than them. If it was God, if it was not for God, then it was not going to be. They had to be either slaves or enter the purposes of God. That's the choice you had. There is no middle ground. You've got to choose who is on your side. You've got to choose whose you are. Mountains can move. Amen. God has shown us in the Bible over and over that God's power far surpasses the power of man. You remember David, the little lad called David, how he faced a giant called Goliath, and it's not by might nor by power, but the Spirit of the Lord kicked out Goliath, and Goliath became a little dwarf before a giant David in the Spirit. There's a story of the small army of Gideon that took over a whole nation, a mighty army of a nation of the Midianites. 300 men took down a multitude because of the Spirit of God. Then there's King Jehoshaphat, who was faced with an army, a combined army of the Edomites, the Moabites, of the Ammonites in 2 Chronicles 20. And when he prayed, the Lord fought for the nation of Israel, and they took them out. Because it's not by might, no, by power. I'm talking to someone here because you are facing mountains, you know. Now, when I'm talking about mountains, I'm sure you do know that I'm not talking about a physical mountain. Because it is Jesus who said, if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, then you shall command this mountain to move, and it shall move. Jesus was not talking about changing the topography of Jerusalem. He wasn't talking about changing the cartography of Galilee. Amen. Obviously not. He was talking about spiritual mountains. So mountains do move by faith. Mountains must move by faith, but who moves the mountains is the Spirit of God. It's not your weapons. It's the Spirit of God. It's not your intelligence. It's the Spirit of God. The battle is not yours. It belongs to God. Number five. Let's do the last one. Then we'll pray. Getting ready for enlargement is about keeping your focus on God. Keep your focus on God. Deuteronomy 1, 32, 33. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 1, 32 to 33. Yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents. In fire by night and in the cloud by day to show you by what way you should go. This is Moses reminding the children of Israel. So, the word of God came to the children of Israel. But not only the word of God, but as they were journeying from Jerusalem, from Egypt, the Bible tells us that they were shielded from the sun by day by the cloud, and they were kept warm by the pillar of fire by night. And we do know from the New Testament that that was Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, going with them. All they needed to do was to keep their eyes on God. And then the cloud will be there and the fire will be there. That's all they needed to do. As long as they kept in file, on file, in rank, and followed the leading of God, then they were okay. They were okay. Now, the question is, where is your focus? There are four places where you can, as people, as believers even, for that matter, we can be in either of these, we can put our focus on either of these four. For example, we can focus on our circumstances, where a situation is hard in our lives, and therefore we end up being so caught up in our circumstances. Or we can focus on other people, especially people that have helped us before. We can lock our eyes on them and hope that we'll get help from them. But how many of you know that people do let us down? And our favorite one is we focus on ourselves. The master of my fate, the captain of my life. We think we are everything, we can achieve anything, because if it's to be, it's up to me. There's a philosophy out there that lives on that mantra. Or we focus on the Lord. We focus on the Lord. If we focus on the first three, we will fail. In fact, we will drift. If we focus on any of those first three, we will drift from the Lord. That's what the children of Israel did. They started focusing on their circumstances. That's where they were. That's why they were complaining. You remember when they said, "We are tired of this manna. We need something different. Why don't we try some garlic for a change? Why don't we try some onions for a change?" You remember them complaining because they were provoked by circumstances. Because you see, we are raising a culture in the 21st century. We might not be looking for garlic and onion and all the stuff from Egypt, but we are raised in a culture of comfort. So when you say, "Can we pray for an hour?" "Oh no, it's too long. I'm losing my voice because of praying for an hour." When you say, "How about reading your Bible devotion for just 30 minutes? "Oh, that's too much. 30 minutes? Do you have an idea how many messages I would have missed in 30 minutes? So we are developing a soft culture among believers these days, where we feel sorry for praying for an hour. We apologize as pastors saying, "I'm sorry, our prayer meeting has gone over by 2 minutes. We have to apologize. A culture of sound bites where we preach for 15 minutes and say, "Oh, you're bothering people now. They need to go home." I went to this other place and I said to them, "Oh, so how long am I preaching for?" They said, "12 minutes. I said, "Oh, right. But I'll just be making an introduction in 12 minutes. They said, "Well, you got 12 minutes. In fact, it's usually 8 minutes. We've given you 12. So I went, you were there. I preached 10 minutes. Yeah, don't be surprised, I did. 10 minutes I was done. So they came back the following year and said, oh, we want you back. I said, oh, really? How many minutes am I preaching this year? They said, well, 15 minutes. I preached 14. The following year said, we want you back. I said, yeah. How long am I preaching? I said, 25 minutes, I think. I said, ah, great. 25. Now we're talking. 25 minutes. I preached 24. The rest is history. Because we are raising a culture of softness in Christianity. Soft Christians that don't like any form of discomfort. So if anything goes wrong, oh, no. Oh, God, there's no way I can go for 2 days without eating. I thought we're fasting. We need to focus on God. The 12 spies, the 10 spies and the rest of the nation of Israel paid dearly for focusing on themselves and circumstances and not on God. They missed the promised land. I hope we won't go that way too. Amen. You know, they were full of complaints. Because they were complaining, it's difficult to focus on God when you're complaining. What does grumbling do? In other words, how does heaven receive complaining? Well, when we complain, the way heaven looks at that, it's as though we're saying to God, God, I don't believe that you thought through this. You made a mistake. That's exactly what we're saying to God. We're saying to God, no, I don't deserve to be having this manner. I deserve something different. You must have made a mistake. You probably don't know who I am. You have no idea what I'm capable of doing. Oh, God. Can you change the diet, please? Meanwhile, this promise has been there since Abraham, and God has already thought through this whole process that I will be your delivery man while you're in the wilderness. I will deliver. I don't need to pay any medium, any company to come and deliver food. I will send my angels to deliver food for you for 40 years for free. You are not even paying for it. I've thought through this. This is God. It's not by might, nor by power. I have thought through your life. I have you on my sight. I don't need to put even afterthought about what journey you're going to take, what you're going to go through. I know the giants are there, but it is I, God, who has spoken and said, I am giving you the promised land, for it's not by might, nor by power. I will move mountains if I need to. All I ask of you is to believe my word. That's all I'm asking you to do. That's what God is asking for us this morning. See, when God wants to enlarge you, now listen to this. When God wants to enlarge you, this is how you know that God wants to enlarge you. You come to a place where you are powerless, where you are hopeless, where you feel weak, where you feel there is no exit door. All you could see was, I entered through there, but there's no longer any exit door. I'm stuck in here. I'm in a mess. And that's when voices start playing in your head, the devil whispering to you saying, you are not coming out of this mess. You are not going anywhere. You are done. A voice that's coming and building. As long as you're creating an atmosphere where you're receiving this word, the voice of God dies down. But I'll come to say to you this morning, God wants you to know that it's not by might, nor by power. Yeah. And the word I'm bringing today, I pray that it will shine a light in your fog of confusion, in your fog of discouragement, yeah, in your fog of fear. May this word bring light into your situation so that you may know that God means business with you. The very fact that you are born is God's signature that has got something to do with your life. That's why you're here. Yes, the devil wants you to look at circumstances. The devil wants you to get confused and start thinking, my life is like my circumstances. In fact, these situations happening around me are too powerful for me. I want you to realize that the devil knows that when you come to know the truth, he has no hold over your life. That's why Caleb and Joshua were different. Caleb and Joshua were surrounded by negativity. We're surrounded by an evil atmosphere of unbelief. And there they were, just two of them, against the whole nation. And they chose to say, we are not going that way. We are on God's side. And as long as God is on our side, we are not moving an inch. We will hold on the promises of God. Can I say this to you before I close? Do you know that looks are deceptive, you know? Do you know that there is another world where battles are won? In your life, you think this is all there is to it. But I want to take you to the story of Joshua. When they had crossed over the River Jordan, and they were overlooking the city of Jericho. And the city of Jericho was so fortified that you could not even dream of breaking into it. And yet God had given them the land. And while Joshua is meditating and reflecting, how are you going to take the land? There appears a captain of the Lord's army. All along, Joshua had no idea what was going on. But that day, even his response shows you that he had no idea what was going on. He says, are you on our side or on their side? And the captain says, I'm not on either your side or their side. I'm on God's side. Which side are you on? Now, listen to this. Joshua was a commander on the ground of God's army. But there was a captain who was a commander of God's army in the spirit. So they both had orders from the King of Kings. But the orders were such that you are either on God's side or you are on the other side. And so straight away, Joshua, then it hit him that we are not alone in this battle. That there is an army that is invisible that's already gone into the promised land. And my job is to just follow what God has told me, and then the army will just collapse. The enemy's army has no power, has no authority, has no stand. So that's why Joshua says, their protection is gone. So what is it that you're facing this morning? Maybe it looks so heavy. Maybe it looks like it's even discouraging you. Even as I'm speaking, you're thinking, Pastor, you have no idea what I'm going through. I've come to tell you that I don't even need to have an idea. What I want you to know is that the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. Yes, physically it looks like you're out, but can I say to you that there is another army. There's an invisible army. The army of God that never fails. That never fails. There is a certain realm in the spirit where all the promises of God are yes and amen. There's a certain realm where the Lord, our God, is El Shaddai. That nothing can stand against him at that level. There's a level where it's not by might, no, by power, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. There is a place like that. There is a realm like that. And that's where battles are won. Never mind what you're seeing. There's a certain level. And to tap into that, you need to believe God's word. To tap into that realm, you need to walk by faith and not by sight. You need to understand that it's not by might, nor by power. You would set the atmosphere. When you set the atmosphere, you attract the invisible army to come and get involved in your situation. Yes. Yes. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for the word you are bringing to us. There are situations here, there are mountains that are refusing to move because we probably have accommodated the mentality of the enemy. The mentality that says we are giants, you cannot do anything about us. And today, we bring that type of thinking to an end. that, Father, that which you spoke to us will be achieved by divine means. And so this morning we tap into the divinity of God. And we ask that you may have your way. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you may deposit your spirit upon us, that our faith may rise. Yes, we look powerless. Yes, we look weak. Yes, we look like we're going to collapse before the enemy. But thank God for the word of God that says it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit. What are you, O mountain? You shall be made plain in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we change the atmosphere here in somebody's life. May you change the atmosphere of barrenness in somebody's life. May you change the atmosphere of negativity in somebody's life. That, Father, the same God who healed 2,000 years ago is the same God that is able to heal somebody listening to my voice right now in the name of Jesus. So, Father, may you release the power to heal over your people in the name of Jesus. I want to pray for those of you that are here. If there's a situation in your life right now that feels like a mountain, a situation where you've tried to use your means to achieve, I want you to stand on your feet. If you don't have time, I just want to pray for you quickly as you stand. And then there's someone here, you have been having a headache. I don't know why God keeps bringing this to me, but I will pray for this person. It's a headache that keeps coming on and off. It goes off, you think it's gone, it keeps coming back. And when it comes, it's serious. Is anybody like that? Just lift your hand, particularly the headache one in particular. Yes, I see your hands. I see your hands. Just stand. If you're sitting, stand, because I have specific instructions for you. Father, these are your children with this headache thing that you've been reminding me of. You, spirit of headache, loose these people and let them go, never to come back. In the name of Jesus, I command you, loose them, go. Father, may you release your spirit of healing upon these children that stand. Let it be so. You are healed in Jesus' name. You can take your seats. Those that stand, Father, may these mountains begin to move by faith. Father, like Caleb, we stand on your word. We are more than able because of God who's able. Like we were singing, God, you are faithful. All your promises are yes and amen. And so, Lord, by faith, we command these mountains to move. Father, we give up trying to use our own strength to achieve divine results. We put away the arm of the flesh and we stand in the place where we can focus on God, where we can hear the word of God, where our faith is rising, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. We change the atmosphere so that the armies of God may break into this battle and change the outcome. In Jesus' name, let it be so. I want to give you a moment to speak to God. Those of you that are standing, agree with me wherever you're standing. Just speak to God and say, God, I choose to stand on your word this morning. I choose to believe your word. I change the atmosphere in my life. Come on, speak to God. Speak to God on your own where you stand. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you glory this morning. We give you honor, mighty God. Let it be so. Let it be so. As your children speak, as your children declare the word of God, let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We meet you next week. May the Lord bless you. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.